Your creative mind is the limitation. We can do a lot of different things with the displays and do it with content as well. That's the beauty of Daktronics.
Hello and welcome to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. I'm Justin Oxner here with Matt Anderson. Today we're joined by James Rarrell. He is the regional sales for our Spectacular business unit. He's going to define the term spectacular, talk about how we help our customers find a solution that fits them, as well as some trends and application for our Spectaculars projects. And we're here today with James. James, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you guys?
I'm doing well. Matt, what do you think?
I'm doing good over here. Thank you.
It's a good day today, isn't it?
It is a good day.
All right.
We're talking to James.
We are. And you guys have bonded a little bit already. So, James, can we start with a quick introduction of yourself and what you do at Daktronics?
Sure. Yeah. So, I've been with DAK 17 years, kind of seen a lot of different things throughout the 17 years, starting on the manufacturing floor in Georgia to Minnesota. And today I'm in our sales division with our Spectaculars team for Daktronics.
And can you tell us a little bit more definition of what the Spectacular team is?
Yeah, Justin, get that question a lot. A lot of people outside of Daktronics don't understand Spectacular of what it is. And really it boils down to displays that are not in our catalog and they don't go into a sports venue, but they're customized. So a lot of people think of when Spectacular, you think about Times Square, you think about Las Vegas. Those are the predominant markets that people think about Spectacular, but they can be flat displays. They can be like five displays tied together and there's a bigger control system that brings them together. It really comes down to when someone says, wow, that's very cool. We consider that to be the Spectacular. And there's a group of us that work on those type of projects to create that wow moment for consumers.
And I like to go back here because Justin knows I like origin stories. So I didn't realize, I mean, even talking to you before recording today, that you've been at DAK for 17 years. I mean, you said you started in manufacturing. We also found out you lived in Georgia for a while. What all have you done? Have you always been in the Spectaculars area after you were in manufacturing, or kind of take me through your history at DAK, I guess?
Yeah, sure. So I started the manufacturing floor, and then a few months after that, rolled into an internship with the company when I was still in college. And that's one of the greatest things of Daktronics is they came to me and said, hey, have you thought about our internship program? And I said, well, what's that? And they said, well, you take a semester off of school, you travel across the U.S., and we'll pay you for it. And before they got to the we'll pay you for it standpoint, I was like, where do I sign? And on top of that, you get the college credit. So it was a win-win-win situation there. And so I did that for a year, you know, took the semester off. And when that was all said and done, I still had a year left of school. And I just started working in our sales department on our high consistency or our on-premise type of product lines. And before I graduated college at the time in 2005, I was sent down to basically there was an offer for me in Georgia to move there and spent 2005 to 2011 down in Georgia working in our on-premise market, working with different resellers and customers along that line. In 2011, I had an opportunity to move back to the Midwest, back to Minnesota, where I'm originally from. And my wife and I decided to take that opportunity. And so from 2011 to 2016, maybe early 17, I did the reseller or on-premise stuff here in Minnesota. And then in 2000, like I said, late 16, early 17, moved into our Spectaculars division, doing some different things for the company there. So it's been an interesting ride for the last 17 years.
So you're in the Spectaculars world now, and can you give us a little update on things that you're seeing with maybe recent projects or something to see what's going on in that world? You said maybe large flat displays, maybe there's some that are curved around corners of buildings or things like that, or what kind of trends are you seeing?
Yeah, so the trends are kind of what the customers are trying to create that, like I said, that wow moment, right? And so you're starting to see displays that are either, maybe there's three or four displays, but they're not together, but they can act as one. So recently we did an interior display that was actually four walls that can all act as one or can act as individual ones. We're doing 90 degree corners around buildings so people can do some creative things with content. Curved displays are always a unique thing because of how the content lays on there. And just, it's different than what you see as you're driving down the road. You see a lot of flat signs as you drive down the road. All of a sudden you see a curved one in there. It's something different. And it's like, oh, okay. I got to look at that. That caught my eye. Mm-hmm. And that's what people are looking to do. And that's, they're trying to create that experience for a customer or a consumer of what they're offering.
All right. And I'm trying to think about James too. When a customer comes to you and says, you know, I want something to give me this wow moment, right? Where do you even start? I mean, it's one of those things where I know graphic designers hate for someone to just say, hey, can you just make this look good? And that's it.
Yeah.
Right? There's gotta be some kind of direction. So you probably work with architects or the customers. Like, how do you end up coming upon what would make that wow moment?
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes the customers have that idea in their head already. Sometimes you have to help guide the customer down that idea of here are some things we can do. And really, the first part you start is, what are the goals, right? What are you trying to accomplish for this sign, for this space, for whatever the area is? What are the goals, right? That's the first thing that you really try to find out from the customer. And then from there, you start tailoring some different things. Another question that you do is, on top of the goals of what do they visually want to see, what type of content? Who's going to build your content, right? Mm-hmm. If they're going to have their marketing team build it, you want to understand what their capabilities are, because you don't want to put something in there that is either too small or their marketing team can't handle or something like that. So you really start to try to understand their capabilities in that scenario. And then what do they consider a successful project, right? Mm-hmm. So as you go through that of what's a successful project for them, they may say, hey, when we get people taking pictures of it, that's a success to us. Or, okay, hey, we've driven business, you know, we have more ad dollars coming in. That's a success. So understanding where their success points are, mm-hmm, that helps tailor things. And then really, because of Daktronics, we have such a broad spectrum of projects we have done worldwide. You can start going through, after you get some of those questions, you can start going through our flipbook or our photo gallery and start laying that out for the customer and saying, hey, what do you think of this? This is what we've done here. You don't necessarily copy the exact project, mm-hmm, but you start getting their ideas. And as their ideas start to flow, they continue to talk more and more about what they're hoping to do and what they're hoping to accomplish. And it just, it's a process. It's a lot of times, if they don't have a concept or an idea or an architect hasn't come up with something, that can be a couple week process to figure out what they want to do beforehand. And so we do a lot of renderings and things along those lines. And then really the last question that I ask always before we start going down that path is, have they looked at LED before, mm-hmm, in the, okay, past? You know, because that really, if they have, what's been the experience? Have they talked to us? Have they talked to somebody else? Because there's a lot of things that we do different than other companies do, mm-hmm, you know, with how we design, how we bring in a team on the front end to help come up with this concept. And so that helps trigger where we go from there.
I know we've had a previous podcast episode where we talked with Jeremy from Interium.
Oh, yeah.
And he had mentioned too, as one of those, whenever dealing with someone that's not too familiar with LED displays, right? That I think we talked in that episode about demos, right? It was one of those things, yeah, where you can see pictures of LED displays, but you don't understand the difference it makes until you see it in person, right? In a demo setting. But I kind of wanted to go back to you saying, you know, it's a lot of brainstorming with a customer of these different ideas. We make these renderings or pre-visualizations.
Oh, nailed
I said
it,
Justin. I struggle with that word. But then there's a point where, can this be done, right? Because we always like to look at these renderings that we make and then matching them up with the actual photo once it's actually installed. And then, you know, making sure that it's as close to that rendering as possible. So I don't know if it's one of those, you have to have all these cool creative ideas, but there comes a point, right, where it's, can this actually happen?
You're exactly right. And our artists, you know, they do a phenomenal job. The biggest challenge for us is to getting the photos for them, mm-hmm. right? Getting good photos that they can work with. And then for them to take that and then visualize and put a display in there. If you look at a lot of our renderings, Matt, and you can actually see, hey, this was the rendering, this was the actual, and they're very, very close mm-hmm. when it comes down to it. And they really focus on, even as well, when we get into like freeform product, another one of the spectacular type of products that fall underneath our umbrella. Those are more architectural type products and things like that. You can see through them. Our artists do a very good job of actually rendering it to a way that it looks like it's going to in the field, mm-hmm. not just, hey, here's what it is, a canvas and call it good. So there's a lot of time that goes into getting that, so the customer is fully aware of what they're getting and really can visualize what it is.
Yeah. So when you're working on that, you get the pre-visualizations, you get the customer to narrow down what they want, and then you kind of move forward to the project and install it and things like that. Is there a big conversation about support as well after you get through the initial phases?
Yeah, actually support becomes a conversation in the early stages. So once you kind of have this rendering and visualization of, hey, this is what we want to do. This is the goal. This is what we're going to consider a successful project if we can get to this. Support is involved in those conversations at that point in time.
Okay.
And the reason it is because if we have to put catwalk systems in, how are we going to service that long term for that client? Because this isn't product that you put up and it stays up for 3 to 5 years. You know, we're looking a lot of times 10 years. I mean, we got some product out there, I think today, that's still 15, 17 years old. Mm-hmm. And we got to be able to support that, not only from the products and the parts and a standpoint of that for as a company, but how do you access the site as well? And so service becomes a conversation early on in the conversations.
I think that's something I've heard when we've talked with customers in the past, Justin, too, right? Is that sometimes they don't realize in the early on stages, oh, it's not just, you know, we mentioned it's not just a TV you buy, you know, from Walmart or Best Buy and you put up on the wall and that's it. That they were so impressed by either the help during installation on it, but then what do you do afterwards and all the support? And like you're saying, if you bring it up beforehand, you're really hitting on that point early on in the process.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it comes too is a lot of people, they don't want to talk about service. I know service is one of those things you're talking about, this nice new shiny object that's going to do wonderful things for you. But no one wants to talk about, hey, what happens if there is a challenge? But service is more than just, hey, there's a problem here. Service can come down to, hey, I have a question in my control system. Hey, I want to upgrade my control system. I want to do something a little different. You know, we start getting, you think about these computers. I mean, how many of us have a phone or a laptop that's more than 4 or 5 years old? Well, those same type of computers and things are running these multi-million dollar displays and things like that. And so that really, those conversations, they have to feel comfortable with us as a company, but they also have to have a contact in our service group that is helping them prepare for that, that if they want this display to last 15, 17 years, like I said earlier, you're probably going to have to do something with your control system. If it's updates, you know, just, I mean, think about Windows, how many updates there are. You know, if you think about that, you're going to have to make sure and you say, okay, I want to be still cutting edge. You know, maybe the goals have changed in the customer's perspective, or maybe they want to do something slightly different. Service is all part of that. Right. And it can be creative services. It can be control upgrade services. So many people think about service as a break fix, right? Mm-hmm. I've had a problem, something broke, now I got to go fix it. But our service team is much more than that. It's constantly communicating with the customer on all these different levels. And absolutely, of course, they're there if there is a problem and a failure to step in and help. But it's further beyond that.
Yeah, and I've heard some of the people in our services group also say, right, it's also about maintenance. So it's one of those, if the display looks great and is working properly, how do you make sure it keeps that way, right? So I know in, it applies in spectaculars as well, but in the sports analogy was, all right, before your first game, you should do some fire-ups of all your stuff the month before, do some updates and make sure that it's good then.
Yeah.
So there's something to say about like proper care of everything too also helps make sure that you don't have something break later on.
Absolutely. And even think about cleaning, right? We all clean our, yep. we all take our vehicles to our car wash. A display is no different. It sits out, you know, an outdoor display and even in interior displays. A lot of people don't think that interior displays, oh, they're inside. You know, you get into a bigger venue, you get into a mall property, you get into different venues, convention centers. There is a lot of dust and things that are in there that obviously start clinging to displays and surfaces and things like that, that cleaning a display can really make a difference on how that looks. And that all flows through service. So preventative maintenance and those cleaning things, that's all part of it.
Yeah, the preventative maintenance and being proactive, it sounds like, because you don't always wait for something to happen. If you want to keep it up and running, you kind of be proactive. But James, you also hit on something there. You mentioned indoor displays as well. And a lot of what we talked about, you said driving along, you could see a flat display, and then a curved display, and it captures your attention. You mentioned New York and Times Square and also Las Vegas, and you think outdoor displays. But we've also got these indoor spectacular displays. And I think you mentioned a recent installation that we did there. But what are you seeing with our indoor product and where those are being used?
Yeah. So since we've released the 2.5 and then that sub 2.5 millimeter product line, that market is just continuing to grow. And there's a lot of interest in that indoor space of creating, again, people want to create that. How do I get somebody to say, wow? Right. And we've seen it with sports books in casinos. If you look at some of the large sports books we've done several of them across the country. You start looking into mall properties. You know, we've done that for the last decade where we've been putting high resolution displays inside. And people want to have that display look like it's not a display that we used to see 10 years ago, where you can see the little LEDs. They want it to look like it's a banner, and they want them thin. They want them to really pop in the sun if there's a bunch of ambient light. That's what they want. That's what they're looking for. And consumers are kind of expecting that as well. And so the indoor market has been something that we have really, really been focused on as a company over the last decade or so, that it's been a very hot product and continues to grow.
And I think what makes it different is we've done interior inside displays for a long time, but it's how narrow pixel space these displays are. So now you're able to put them in places that people can walk up to and still see either the content or read whatever's on the display, right? So that's why it's kind of almost opened up all these doors now, is because you're talking about in places where you maybe did an LCD wall or a big LCD screen. Now you're talking about LED displays instead.
Exactly, Matt. And you hit it right on the head. We're seeing that in bars and restaurants, that they're replacing their projection or they're replacing their LCD video wall, and they're putting in this high resolution product. You're seeing it in corporate lobbies that they're trying. Again, it's all about creating that experience, but then it opens up doors of where you can put them. So if you think about a projection system, you have to be so far away. You have to have rear projection. There's some limitations of how close you can be. And then if you have it in a spot where you have a lot of ambient light, it doesn't pop as much as LED does. LCD, you have the bezels. Now they've really worked hard on getting those bezels closed down, so they're not as large, but you still have challenges there of calibration and having a one nice display across it. And so there's things that this NPP, this high resolution indoor product, has really opened up from a market standpoint.
So you mentioned the indoor product now, and there's a couple other applications that we kind of had here that we thought we'd bring up. One of them is green spaces, and another one is some healthcare opportunities. Can you walk us through each one of those?
Yeah, absolutely. So green space displays, they're just what they sound. They're a display that is in front of a green space, a common area, a picnic area. And the idea behind that is it allows people to come and gather in a space, and there could be just regular content there. But then there can also be audio. And that's something that we haven't really talked about yet, is the audio side of it. But if someone wants to create an experience, again, about the consumer, hey, we want to do a movie night. We want to have a game night. We want to have a live event. So if it be a concert in the park or something like that, that's what these green space displays are all about, right? It's trying to create a space where people can come and gather and still, and especially in the time we are today, still have social distancing, but still experience what's going on in a park, in a area that maybe a developer has built. And then in on top of that, because the displays have flexibility with how you show a movie on there or how you do something, you can also have sponsorship on there. So if we take a page from our sports side of the house, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times we'll put video on there, and then below the video or on the sides, we'll have some sponsorship tags mm-hmm. on there as well. And you're starting to see that as well in these green space areas, just to say, hey, this is brought to you by, and giving that sponsor some recognition for it, you know? And so then, and Justin, you had asked about healthcare as well.
Right.
And healthcare is definitely an emerging market. It's today, in today's world with where we're at with COVID, there's a lot of communication that needs to happen. For someone that's coming to a facility, there is a lot of communication of which door do we need you to go in? How are we keeping you safe as a consumer? Mm-hmm. Right. So you're coming in for whatever the situation may be. How are we making sure we're protecting you and then getting you through the facility the way we need to? But then you get into some other areas where how do we create this feeling of I'm not in a hospital? Right. And that can be with art. You see that a lot of times on walls in hospitals, especially in areas where people are fighting cancer or things there. They're trying to create it not as a hospital anymore, a healthcare facility. They're trying to create a friendly environment. And our displays can be tied into that as well because of the versatility of them. Of, you know, we can show art, we can do some different things in there. And so we see that as an emerging market as well at this point.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's a really good point to bring up. So I know we've talked about some projects and things you worked on. Could you maybe highlight some recent projects if we can by name and kind of walk us through what's going on there?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, going back to green space displays, we're in the process of finishing up a project down in Woodlands, Texas, for Woodlands Mall for Brookfield. It's kind of been installed over the summer here, and it's getting to the point that it's just finishing up, and it's exactly what we just talked about green spaces. It has that display that's overlooking a common area, a green space on the mall property, and it's all set up to do audio visual for consumers. They're going to have movie nights out there. They're going to have different events out there. And the display is going to be a big part of that for Brookfield and their team down there.
Nice.
A couple other projects that we've done, you know, I talked about sports books before. We're just in the process of finishing up a couple sports books for a casino in Michigan and a casino in Colorado. We're in the process of doing that. And if you've been following DAC, obviously, like you guys have said, you know, we've done a couple down in Vegas as well recently. So that continues to be an emerging market for us.
Nice. So we've talked about a lot of different things today. Is there anything that we haven't covered that's at the top of your mind that you think people should know about our Spectaculars business?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think in today's world and where technology is and things like that, really the idea is that your creative mind is the limitation. We can do a lot of different things with the displays and do it with content as well. So maybe the display can't make this, you know, double wave curve that you're looking for of how tight you want it to be, but we could create that in content as well. So if you have an idea, if you have a concept and you're thinking, oh, well, they'll never be able to do it just because of the mechanical of how it's built. don't think it can't be done. We may just have to do it a little bit differently and creatively from what your initial thought was. And that's the beauty of Daktronics. When we get a project or somebody brings us a project and says, hey, I want to do this, but mechanically it's not going to work because of either a service side of things or just you can't bend a module like that. You can't do something along those lines. It could be looking at something that we do it from a content standpoint or a different way of looking at the problem to solve it. And for all the engineers and all the creative people that we have in the company, thank you for that. because it's amazing what we can come up with as a team when we get something going there.
Well, thanks, James, for joining us today and sharing all that information about Spectacular. There's a lot of good information there. So thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you guys very much. And you guys have a wonderful day.
All right. You too, James. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Daktronics Experience Podcast. Please subscribe at your favorite place to listen to podcasts to keep up with our latest episodes.